responsive reading kind of, it pulled from Romans chapter 12, which is our scripture for today, but you may want to turn in your Bibles. We're going to be referring to Romans 12, 1 through 8 throughout the message, and it might be nice to have that to look at in front of you, but Romans chapter 12 is where we'll be looking. As we get started, today is the last sermon in our summer story series. And just a few of them. I'm not going to go through and remind you of everything we talked about, but some of the stories we talked about, the very first one was that we are co-creators with God and what that looks like and how we live into it. Then we talked about Abraham and Sarah and how God promised them something that seemed impossible. And then we can live a life of impossibilities too if we trust God's power and God's direction and God's leadership. Then we talked about a lady named Hagar who was rejected and what that was like and how we deal with rejection. Then there was another lady named Rebecca. Rebecca was an answer to a prayer, but she was also an example of God's provision. And we also see that in our lives, both of those, answers to prayer and God's provision if we pay attention to it. And then there's Elijah. Elijah taught us about what it meant to wait on the Lord, the pain associated with waiting on the Lord sometimes, the difficulty in that. So there's been lots, and that's only about half of them, of the things that we've heard. And I hope as you've come and you've been a part, because most of you have been a part of hearing several of these messages, I hope it hasn't been a thing where you've just come and you've heard that message and you put your time in, you leave and go back. That's not what our time together, that's not who I'm supposed to function as a pastor. It's not about me, it's about a message that comes from God that's supposed to provide transformation in our lives. But I have a question today. How often do you hear a message? How often do you read a scripture? How often do you have a conversation with God and make a commitment and a promise only to have a few days or a few weeks later seem like that never really took hold? It never had the impact that you thought it was going to. Somehow or another, that commitment just slipped away. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever had a struggle like that? I have. And there's lots of different reasons for that, but I want to focus on one particular reason today. But before we get into that, I want to challenge us. We've heard several messages throughout this summer from several different people in the Bible, and I want to challenge us today to live into the truths and the message of God's Word. And I'm not talking just specifically about the sermons. And if there were some of the sermons that stuck out to you, if you didn't already realize this, and I hesitate saying this, I just, like most people, I do not like hearing my voice recorded. But we do have the sermons recorded online. And if there's any sermon you missed, you wanted to hear, or you want to go back and hear one or felt particularly convicted, those sermons are available on our website. And you can go back and listen to those. But I'm not talking just about that. I'm talking about any time that we feel convicted, any time we've made a commitment, any time that we know we are in God's presence and moving in the direction He wants us to, we are to seek to live into that truth. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32 says this: Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." We experience teachings as a part of this church on a regular basis. And I promise you, I never get in this pulpit where I don't seek God's guidance. And I pray that He will speak through me and I will not speak myself. So it should be truths that come from Him. The same thing is true in our small groups that we have on Sunday morning. We also have several small groups throughout the week, and they're to be incorporating teachings that we can live by. And this says that when you are doing this, when you're paying attention to those teachings and you're holding to them, then you are learning, you're knowing the truth, and the truth will set you free. But you know what? It isn't just that simple. It isn't just that you can come down, you can hear a message, and you can want, you can yearn with all your heart to want to be the person God's calling you to be. Well, why does it get difficult? It gets difficult because Satan is also real. And Satan doesn't like it when we're making these commitments. So Satan wants to throw up stumbling blocks. Satan wants to throw up challenges. Satan wants to throw up detours that are going to take us away from the direction that we have said we're going to go, the direction that we know God is leading us. And I want us to look particularly at one of Satan's tactics today. But as we get more towards that, we're looking at Romans chapter 12. And as you look at the scripture, I don't know how many of you may have read through the book of Romans, or you are, maybe that's something you would like to do. But if you do go through the book of Romans, there's kind of a division in Romans, and it happens at chapter 12. Verses 1 through 11 tends to be Paul's more theological dissertation. And Romans 1 through 11, Paul is focusing primarily on God's righteousness and our need for faith in God because of his righteousness. So that's the main part of chapters 1 through 11. But then in verse 12, something changes. In verse 12, it becomes more the practical application. In chapter 12, it becomes more the practical application, then continues in chapters 12 through 16. And it answers how we are to live as we consider God's righteousness and our relationship to him. So today, we're going to look at the first practical piece of Paul's advice in the scriptures. And that is that we are to renew our minds. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this: "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Well, when it first starts out in verse 1, it talks about in view of God's mercy. And as we study this and pay attention to the whole chapter, God's mercies it's referring to is referring to what preceded this time. So it's talking about what we're reading in chapters 1 through 11. This is referring to God's faithfulness, God's grace, God's glory. He encompasses all that by saying God's mercies. So in context of that, we do this. It's therefore. And then it talks about the mercies and tells us what we're supposed to do. And we're talking about renewing of the mind. I want to suggest, if we're really open to this, if we're really open to renewing our mind, this is what we can expect. If instead of conforming to this world, but we're willing to allow God to be a part of renewing our mind in that way, this is what I believe we can expect. I believe it can result in freedom and peace that we can't know otherwise. I believe it's a part of getting rid of damaging thoughts that influence our lives. I'm going to pause there for a minute. What do I mean by that? I don't want it to just be here and it fills up a place on my notes on the piece of paper I've got. What does it mean in your life? What comes to mind for you when you consider the damaging thoughts that influence your life? What is it? What tapes do you play over and over? And maybe it's tapes of what someone that you cared about said to you. Maybe it's a tape of somebody deserted you and you feel hurt and left out and unworthy. Even though you know it's not true. You're a believer. You know God loves you. You know God has given his life for you. But because of something that's happened in the past, you struggle in your mind to believe the truth of who God created you to be. So there's these damaging thoughts. I'm telling you, if we allow God to be a part of renewing our mind, these can be pushed away. And then another one. And this isn't all. It's just some that I wanted to mention to get us thinking. And it's that we escape negativity. Every one of us can be prone to be negative. And you know people that live that way. There are people that no matter how good the person seems to have it, there's always a problem. And then on the other hand, you know some people too, that no matter how challenging the situation is, the person seems to find good, smile, and make the best of it. I believe all this goes back to our minds. I believe we'll understand it more through the Scripture today. Another passage in Romans, it actually, if you go back to Romans chapter 8, this is verse 5. And I've asked, what does it mean? What does renewing of the mind mean? And I think this gives us a clue. So we're going back to Scripture to find what it means. It says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, what our body desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So again, that's talking about our mind, maybe even our mindset. A non-believer, someone who doesn't have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they don't have this option of having a renewed mind. Because they are living in the flesh. That's what guides them. That doesn't mean they can't think good thoughts. That means they doesn't mean they can't be good people. But in terms of our minds and the way our minds work, the way our minds guide us, if you're not a believer, the Holy Spirit, through God, doesn't have the ability to be a part of that aspect of our body. Believers, on the other hand, should realize it's not enough to know God intellectually. It's not enough just to know the Scriptures. It's not enough just to come to a Sunday school class. It's not enough just to do the right things. We must invite God to guide our thinking. But not just our thinking. The mind is a powerful tool, and if we don't intentionally and consistently give God control, you can't just come and get dunked and say, okay, I'm a Christian and now everything's going to be okay. It's a daily process. Because I tell you, Satan doesn't look at you, get dunked, and say, well, that one's a lost cause. No, that's when he gets serious about it. I promise you. And so that's when we need to grab hold to the tools that God gives us, the gifts that God gives us, the promises that God gives us, and one of those is our power through the Holy Spirit, and we need to hang on to it tight. The Greek word for repentance, if you go back and study that, I'm not going to break it all up today, but the Greek word for repentance actually includes, as part of its meaning, a sense of a change of mind. I'm not making that up. But if you study it, repentance, a lot of times we think repentance just means that you quit doing the stuff you didn't think you were supposed to be doing. Or you start doing something. But it's not just that. In the Greek, in the Bible, in the words that Jesus talks about, repentance can't happen unless there's a connection to a change in our minds. Our thinking must change from ungodly to godly. What we have in our minds determines what we feel in our hearts. It also influences our understanding of what is true. And finally, our renewed mind results in action. So our actions are going to be different. Not just because we've said we're Christian, not just because we've said we want to do the right thing, but if we truly repented and our minds have changed and our minds have been renewed, then our actions are going to be different. And not only, some of our actions may even be the same, but the reasons we do it and the purpose behind it can be completely different. Do you get an idea why the first thing Paul talked about in terms of his practical application of how to live as a Christian referred to the mind? That was his first thing. So, we talked a little bit about what it means to renew the mind. How do we do it? How do we renew our mind? How is it renewed? As I was preparing for this, there's a quote that I got I want to share with you. Just one sentence. It says, well, a couple sentences. The mind does not just have a view. It has a viewpoint. It doesn't just have power to perceive and detect. It also has posture, demeanor, bearing, an attitude, and kind of a slang would be a bent. I want to read that again because a lot of times we just think our mind is just the thinking. But there's so much more to our mind. Listen to this again. The mind does not just have a view, it has a viewpoint. It doesn't just have power to perceive and detect. It doesn't just have one function. It also has a posture. It has a demeanor. It has a bearing. It has an attitude. It has a bent. So you understand why it needs to be renewed. You understand why we can't just let it hang out there and whatever's going to influence it. Have you ever considered that where you spend your time, who you spend your time with, influences the person that you become? So we make decisions about how we're going to do that. Yet sometimes in our mind we aren't so conscious about that. We just think our mind is just there, but we need to be careful about how we use our mind and be intentional about where we expose our mind and invest our mind. Because in the midst of all that, the posture, demeanor, bearing, attitude, and bent are being shaped. This is done, and I think there are two things, if you pay attention to the Bible, there's two things it says about that I believe wrap up how we come to renew our mind, and the first one is Scripture. Scripture is important in knowing God's truth, and God's truth is what we want to constantly be in our minds. And this concludes Scripture reading, but not just reading, personal and group Bible study. There's a difference in simply reading the Scripture and studying the Scripture. And when you study the Scripture, I encourage some people this week. I said, before you go to just study or even read, pray and ask God to speak to you through that Scripture. Yes, it's just truth there you can read and you can know that simply from reading it. But God desires a personal relationship where He speaks to us about what that Scripture says and how it applies directly to our situations. And that affects our minds. It also comes through worship. Worship is talked about in Romans. And Scripture is a part of worship, not just here in what I'm sharing a message here, but every praise song, every hymn that we sing has scriptural truth in it. And it can serve as a reminder. It warms my heart at times to be walking around the house or riding down the road and hearing my 10-year-old sing praise songs. He doesn't even know he's doing it. But there's something inside of him that is working to understand and to make God's truths that he's been exposed to a part of his everyday life. That's how our renewal of our mind is supposed to work. And then secondly is the Holy Spirit. You may want to turn to Titus, which is also in the New Testament. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. It's right after Timothy if you're looking for it, but it's a short book. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says this. He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This is the only other place in Scripture that we see the word renewal. Romans 12:2 talks about renewal of the mind. The only other place is right here in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, and it says renewal by the Holy Spirit. We do not have renewal in our minds unless it's connected to the Holy Spirit. We cannot renew our minds ourselves. Our renewal of our minds doesn't come just by reading the Scripture over and over again in our own power. Renewal of our minds is a part of God through the Holy Spirit working in our minds in an intentional, living, daily manner. The exciting thing is, once we understand this, once we understand the renewal of the mind as a part of what our repentance is, and it happens on a daily basis, Paul goes on here to talk about what we see as a result of that, how the renewal of the mind is reflected. And this is how it's reflected. First, in our view of self. In verse 3, it said, "For by grace given, I say every one of you, do you think of yourself more highly than you ought?" Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So that's the first thing, that we're to realize that it changes our view of ourselves. And you know, this isn't the only one. We have the view of self that sometimes we can get hoity-toity and think we're better than others. But there's another thing. Satan can take the opposite, and he wants us to think lowly of ourselves, like we're not capable, that we can't accomplish things, that we're not worthy of what God says. And that's not where we're supposed to be either. And we will not be there if we allow God to be a part of that renewal process through His Holy Spirit in our minds. And it's also reflected, and this is important because it's where other people see us so much, is in the body of Christ. For just as each of us has a body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, do you know that? God doesn't necessarily want everybody to do the same thing you do. They don't, and if they do, it may not even be the same way, but a lot of times we think people are supposed to think like we do and do things the way we do in the time that we do it. And we get frustrated when that doesn't happen. But if we have minds of Christ, if we allow our minds to be renewed, we understand this. We understand that God didn't create Linda to be like me, and I'm not less of a person because I can't sing like she does, or I can't play the piano like David. I have a purpose that God created me for, and it's to add to the body of Christ. And we encourage that in each other and celebrate that. It goes on to say, "So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs all to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance to your faith. If your gift is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, teach. If it's encouraging, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do so diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do so cheerfully." There's a scripture that many of you are probably familiar with. It comes from Luke 10:27. It says, "Love the Lord your God." How does it say to love the Lord your God? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. There's that word. Do you think in loving God with all of our mind, really what He wants is for us to do it just in our own strength, or does He want that renewed mind? We can't love God with all of our mind in the way it is intended if we aren't allowed our mind to be renewed. And I'm not saying it's the only thing, but I believe, especially after praying over and preparing for this message, the struggles that we have when we slip back, when we backslide again and again and again, we say we want to be different, we say we want to live differently with God, we say we want to be better at reading Scripture, we say we want to be better at the choices we're making, and it just gets harder and harder, or we do the same things over and over again. I believe a lot of it has to do with a lack of renewing our minds. We try to do the right thing, but we aren't living in the truth. We aren't connected to the Scriptures in the way that we should be. These are powerful things. They aren't just something to have. You don't just set this on your coffee table at home. It's to be studied. And then too, it's not something to allow the Holy Spirit to do. Our minds need to change. So I have a question. If you're a believer, you think back to accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Is there a sense in which you can really acknowledge and know that you had a renewal in your mind? Yeah, maybe your heart changed, you wanted to do things, but I'm talking about in your mind.